Our study tonight is out of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7, God's discipling template for today's leaders in needy churches. Having established the fact that an effective leadership ministry in the local church is a long-term one that counters error in giving only Bible content applied dogmatically to lead hearers to live by faith in God, it's important to discern the actual discipleship we should expect to see when this kind of ministry occurs. It's good for us to evaluate to see if indeed that is occurring in our church as a signal that we're actually doing the work of God. Well, we have that template for us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It lays out God's discipling template on the matter, and we view it for our insight. Let me read the verses, and then we'll look at the passage. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end or the result of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned or an unhypocritical faith, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling or empty words, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Well, when an effective leadership ministry occurs in the local church, as described briefly in 1A above and taught in our lesson last in this series, there is a desired end result. The Greek word telos in 1 Timothy 1:5, translated end in the King James, it's translated goal in the NIV, or it's translated aim in the English Standard Version. In this context, it implies the resulting desired product. Now, that desired product in the context contrasts with the unsettling speculations raised by preoccupation with endless fables and genealogies. That's in verse 4. And it is described for us beginning in verse 5. First of all, true discipleship resulting from a biblically effective leadership ministry is love out of a pure, and the word katharos is pure, and heart, cardia, from which we get the word cardiology. Paul uses this expression, love out of a pure heart, elsewhere in Scripture, only in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And it describes in that passage believers with pure hearts with whom Timothy was supposed to fellowship in place of seeking fellowship with false or erring teachers. I'm just briefly going to look at that passage. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace, together with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now that's seen in contrast to what he wrote in verse 20, where he says, in a large house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purges himself from these, namely the vessels of dishonor, he will be a vessel unto honor. And the vessels of dishonor in the context are teachers like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who were teaching error. They were vessels that were bearing the contents of bad error. And Timothy was supposed to purge himself. He was supposed to separate from those false teachers. This is why it's very important for a pastor to watch with whom he fellowships. I used to interact with pastors in various fellowships in the area. At least I started when I first came to Nepal, and I found out there was a significant amount of error there. Well, they wanted churches to have joint prayer meetings and joint, and I thought, how can I have the people of Nepal get together with these of errant beliefs? So I stopped going to those pastors' fellowships. I tried various ones, and I just, you know, I wasn't comfortable because there was so much error amongst the pastors themselves. Well, that's what Paul told Timothy to do, to separate from those unclean vessels, but get together with and join together with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So applying this in the passage here, one goal of biblical discipleship is a righteous love from the heart of one that is discipled, a right type of a love. I always like to get together in fellowship, and often this occurs most of the time in fellowship hall after the morning worship service. I love to get together in fellowship with people who have pure hearts. Even if it's a brand new believer and they're very immature in the Lord, there's something about being around a believer who is very honest with God and fellowships with the Lord. I just get a shot in the arm of interacting with that kind of a person. Because here are people who are true. I get this also fellowshipping with those who are here like on Sunday nights, because you're out because you want to fellowship with the Lord. You love the Lord. A lot of pure hearts. And it's really good. This is what God's looking for, a righteous love from the heart of the one disciple. There's no falsehood that's there. Second, the true discipleship resulting from a biblically effective leadership ministry is a good, and the word agathos, a good conscience. Sunedesis, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, refers to this in verse 5b. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to have to get back into the computer and correct that. The expression agathos sunedesis is explained in passages like 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 13, to be what a certain believer at his particular level of spiritual maturity genuinely believes is right or wrong, whether this is the actual case biblically speaking or not. It's interesting, if you take a quick look at that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7, 8, and 9, Paul pointed to an issue where some believers thought something might be wrong when it really wasn't. Howbeit, there's not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing that is offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. And he's talking about believers who buy meat in the marketplace after it's been offered to idols in the idol temple. And after it was offered to idols, then they would sell it for a reduced amount of price on the marketplace. And the Christians would buy it because they knew it was just a hunk of meat, but a lot of pagans were afraid to eat it because it had been offered to idols. Well, new Christians had come along, and they had just been saved out of this idol worship, and they too were spooked by eating that meat, so they didn't want to go near it. Now, Paul said, there's nothing wrong with the meat. It's just meat. You can buy it. You can eat it. But if someone buys it and it hurts his conscience, then he's not supposed to. Now, it's interesting, Paul goes on to say that there's nothing wrong with the meat, but if a person has a conscience problem, then it is a problem. So, Paul was concerned that these believers not hurt their conscience. So, a key result of true discipling will be the disciples avoiding what is wrong and staying with what is right that he personally truly views as reality, the focus being honesty of heart. See, there are certain things that you might hold that are right or wrong that will be different from what I would hold right or wrong simply because of our backgrounds or because of conscience's decisions we would make. There might be some stores that you might not go to or frequent where I might feel free to frequent, or there may be some stores that I might feel free to go to, but you won't, and it's all conscience. Well, God wants us to protect that conscience. He doesn't want us to sin against that conscience. Because if we do, we violate our sense of right and wrong. So it's very, very important that we not only do that which is biblically right, but that we protect our consciences. Third, the true discipleship resulting from a biblically effective leadership ministry is faith unfeigned, as the King James says, or it's a sincere faith, as the New International and the English Standard Versions state as follows. The Greek word for unfeigned or sincere here is anupokritos, meaning without hypocrisy or free from insincerity. So Paul described a faith that was true as opposed to being externally expressed, but not genuinely rising from within the heart and within the mind. You see, what Paul is after here is a discipleship that gets down and makes the person become absolutely honest with God. No faking it. No artificial put on in front of other people and not lying to ourselves. But we're really honest with the Lord. That's why he said in our target text, which is back here in 1 Timothy, the apostle said, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of a faith that is unhypocritical. The emphasis on honesty is fantastic there and enormous. So true discipleship resulting from the biblically effective local church leadership described in 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4 comes from a heart that has been purified by the Lord through one's genuine faith in Christ and in God as a believer, which faith is followed by a life that adheres to an honestly pure personal conscience that reflects the believer's actual sense of right and wrong, regardless of his spiritual maturity level. In other words, Paul was implying a very candid, honestly upright saint. That's what God's after. Someone who is honest, absolutely honest with the Lord. In contrast, the errant teachers Timothy was to correct at Ephesus had deviated from, or they had departed from, such a pattern, with impure hearts, compromised consciences, and a dishonest faith in God and his word. They had thus turned away from the truth to fruitless talk. Mataia logia is fruitless talk. I'll never forget, a number of years ago, I saw there was another church in our area. They had a seminar, and they were invited people to come into the church and so forth. And in this particular seminar, they said, well, we know there's this church's view and that church's view. Well, what's important is not the differences. What's important is where we agree. And I got to thinking, no, that's not true. If not just some of God's word is true, all of it is true. So we need to be honest in interpreting the word of God. If there's a difference of opinion, somebody's wrong. Either both of the churches are wrong or one church is wrong. We need to get the word of God right. We can't fudge on this thing. So I had been invited to go. I refused to go. I couldn't go into a situation where someone was going to fudge in regards to conscience and say, well, let's just ignore the things that we don't agree on. No, we need to get to the bottom. Why don't we agree on them? Let's find out what the word of God says. Now, if people still can't agree, obviously someone's a weaker brother, then we have to put up with the brother and so forth and work around. That's another thing. But trying to hide away from the truth instead of being honest is not what God wants. He wants us to get down to what the Word of God says and look at it and see what it says and go at it. So the lesson is true discipleship. The true discipleship that a biblically effective leadership ministry in the local church produces is a pure heart, a faith and a conscience that keep the one discipled aligned to the biblical truth versus a compromised heart, faith and conscience that cause him to leave the truth and go off into fruitless talk. So may we evaluate the effects of our ministry to see if it is biblical and adjust as needed. Now we've got an illustration of what happened today. We had a young couple that was visiting our church. They had gotten introduced to our church by the Kozars. The Kozars had recommended our website. And so they looked at the website. This couple had, for one time, attended the church where the Kozars were going and so forth. And they liked what they heard, and they had MP3 recording and so forth, so they came to the church. And after the service, I was talking with them back in Fellowship Hall here. And the young woman, actually many years ago, her parents had attended our church. She said, I really like the traditional music that you have, because they've been around with a lot of contemporary music. She liked the traditional, but she said, I like the fact that you have Bible content. And those are teaching content from the Word of God. And I said, well, you know, I found the only thing that meets the needs of my heart is the content of the Word of God. So that's what I share. And she said, sure, that works with us. And I saw right then the tremendous need to be honest. To be honest with myself before the Lord as to what I'm sharing with the people, but to be honest with the people because that's what meets their needs. There's nothing like the Word of God that ministers to the needs of the heart. So we need to be really right on track. And I believe that we are on track as a pastor. And I believe we're on track as a church. Because as people come into our church, they see that. And they see that we're giving content that is level, that's getting right at the level of people. We're applying it to hearts. Because that's what the Lord is doing in our hearts. So I was encouraged. This couple does want to come back. They said, we'd like to come back and visit again. I said, sure. Apparently they may be looking for a church home. We don't know. But I was very encouraged by the fact that what they saw today was exactly what we're talking about here. There's sincerity, there's reality, and that's an evidence that we're on the beam with the Lord.